Streaming out there, website folks. Good morning, everybody. Wave. Oh, that's right. I can't see all of you. Wave. Okay. One more chirp from the bird. Out here, I'm telling you, the Christmas plays at the church and all that stuff, that's big time. I really have forgot where I came from. When somebody told me, can you know for certain you're going to heaven? I thought, that's a pretty neat thing to know, but how can anybody know such a thing? That's because I was living in conservative Midwest at the time, and Lutherans and Presbyterians, the whole crowd, just never did much with their Bible. The Christmas play is huge out here. They got they wear the costumes, they got the shepherd sticks, you know, some of them got the lambs and the sheep and the lambsy divies and all this kind of stuff, and they really get into it. And yet, back in Tusha, remember I came up with that one little play. You've got to kill some kids in that play program where Herod gets all these kids and kills them all off. And there's lots of things there that people just ignore. And you know, there's variations of this. When you read through Matthew and Luke, especially, you see a lot of things that are they don't ever put them into their production, into their play. So this morning we're not going to talk about the nativity scene or the Christmas program aspect of it because none of it's right. It's all wrong. It's just totally wrong. But I guess people just don't seem to care anymore that we promote a lie. The Christmas holiday, the tradition, the custom of it, you know, whatever. It sure beats having Ramadan. But to say that it pleases God and to say that it's what God has asked us to do and told us to do and the scriptures say so, and it's baloney. It is not there. I mean, it just is not there. So people make out of what they want. Well, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. We're going to go to Luke chapter 2. And the title there is Simon Says, but it's not quite Simon, unfortunately. It's Simeon. But I thought that was a rather cutesy title anyway. And we're going to go to verse 25. And this guy holds Jesus. And he says some things. And we will again see the huge difference between the Gospels and Paul's teachings. And remembering, of course, that Paul's teachings are not just do's and don'ts, but they're an attitude to have because we learn what Christ has done for us. And when you say that to somebody, you know what Christ has done for us, don't be afraid to say what Christ has done to us as well. What has he done to us? Well, that's for you to find out. I'm sure most all of you out there right now know that, but the website family out there, you might not know all that stuff. That's where you come up with reading Paul only, is you find out what Christ did to us. He did something to us that he doesn't ever talk about in the Gospels. He doesn't ever talk about in Hebrews to Peter, Hebrews to Jude. We know he doesn't talk about it in Genesis to Malachi. So, we're going to see here why we still read the Gospels, why we still read the Old Testament. Why we still read Hebrews through Jude, including Revelation. I'll tell you just as kind of a thought, just kind of a spring thought here, is why we don't read people's footnotes is because they're just somebody else's 2 cents, and most of the time we find out that the 2 cents aren't even worth 2 cents. And who can discern between what those guys are saying is true or not? So let's stick with what God says. And at that, when he says in Romans, look it up here real quickly. When he says in Romans chapter 3, chapter 3, God forbid you, yea, let God be true, every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Go ahead and judge me for what I'm saying this morning is Scripture. And go ahead, I'm justified in what I'm going to say this morning because it's Scripture. It's not me. So, we're going to see here this morning in an Old Testament story, in the Gospels, Luke chapter 2, we're going to see some stuff that ought to be pretty encouraging to us, hopefully. And we'll just see. And we're going to go to this guy named Simeon. And I keep saying Simon because of the whole Simon Says thing, which, by the way, is a fantastic game when you're with kindergartners and you run out of stuff to do, and they're doing good to sit still within a 5-foot range per kid. Simon Says is an excellent game to play. What's that to do with music? Absolutely nothing. It has to do with my survival. So Luke chapter 2. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And then when you think about it, when you run across a verse like that where it says, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived, where does it say that? whenever the scripture is referenced to something that was said earlier or whatever, you know, you ought to know that. And just stop and take the time, put away that 10 pages a day of baloney, and stop and look up some verses. So does anybody out there know where his name was called Jesus? Angel said that's what it was going to be called. I'll pause for a second of searching and typing. Pause. I hear the pages rustling in my pretend mind. Who's going to find? There's two places where it says that the angel said that's what his name was going to be. Wouldn't that be nice if God told you what to name your kid? Because I can tell you right now, the names I've got in my classes, God didn't tell those people to name those kids that at all. So did God tell? Where does God tell Mary that this was the name of it? Come on, we're still looking, I hope. Hope you're looking. Where does it say that? Anybody know that? Ah, there we go. Massachusetts chapter 1, verse 31. Yep. Close. Got the book wrong. I'm sorry, you're sticking with Luke. Okay, yep, that's right. Luke 1:31. There's one of them. There's one more. I gave a clue by looking at Massachusetts for the name. Pause. For the website people out there, are you and your family flipping through the pages really quick to find out where the other place is? It must be where the rest of the birth story is talked about in pretty good detail. That's the only book that talks about Herod. There we go. There it is. Look at them just flying in. Matthew 1:21. And Mark, being the typist and computer expert that he is, types up the whole word. And Moonfixer, who's like me, types the words as little as possible. Numbers of letters as little as possible. But yes, Matthew and Luke 1:21 and 1:31. There. See how nice that was? And that wasn't painful. Unless you didn't know where it was at. But now you do. Okay, that's verse 21. So there's, by the way, also for those newcomers out there, 8 days were accomplished for the circumcised. That's why people still tend to have the kids circumcised when they're 8. Sure beats waiting until they're 40 or 50, which so many have lately. Verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Boy, isn't that Old Testament there? Majorly. Parentheses. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. There's your firstborn. See? So that's good. But it's written in the law of the Lord. So, 24, back to regular print, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. There you go. A couple of birds had to be killed over this thing. Not only were their children killed, but their birds were killed. And we all know that the world is more concerned about animals being killed than they are children. So to read 22, 23, and 24 like it is kind of written out to be, and when the days of purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. See, I'm one of those that has enough of a flighty mind anymore that when I get to a parenthesis, and I read the parentheses, I forget the way the sentence was even put. So go back and read it, leave out the parentheses, read it as it is, and you see 2 things there. To present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice. Then go back and read your parentheses. Well, why would we do that? Well, because it says, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. See how that works? That's called reading your Bible with your brain. Well, look at that. Way to go, Moonfixer. Leviticus says the same thing. You must have already done this particular sermon, huh? So it isn't just Jesus has to be done. This is just what they do. That's the crowd. Why do they do that? Well, because it's written in the law of the Lord that every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So there you go. E-word, sword. 25. Here we are. Now we get into the actual kind of story here. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. So we know what city we're in. Whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. Now we know that Apollos was the same thing. You got to notice that is their job, is to be just and devout. What do we have today in our church? We've got women who are trying to be that very same thing, and they cause more trouble than can you imagine. That's why they go against Paul so much. They already think they got it together. And to bring this stuff up, it just seems to stir the aprons a little bit there. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So here's this guy that he's waiting for the consolation. So he knew what the Scripture said. And when you realize that people are kind of fading from this whole scene, by the, it's been a long time since they were servants to Pharaoh and all that kind of stuff, and a long time waiting for their Messiah to come, and it hadn't come for a long time, type of deal. And here's a guy that's just hanging in there. He's waiting for the, he knows it's coming. So he kept that whole prophecy thing going. I mean, here's this guy, you know, that nobody's interested in some stuff, but here's this guy that just says, you know, the Bible says to them, the Scriptures say that he's coming, and he's coming. So he's waiting for this consolation of Israel. You also got to realize that this guy, I mean, I'm sure that this, the Pharisees, all these important people, were saying what they were saying, and here he comes along and claims that this is the Messiah. That's pretty tough to go against the powers that be, all the educated bunch that know their Scriptures and know their prophecy, because here it is coming to true, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it. Matter of fact, they wanted to kill him. But anyway. And then it says, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. I did some looking, naturally, and nowhere in the Gospels is the Holy Ghost in anybody. There's another difference. Upon, on, compared to Paul's in. So we're the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, in us. Christ is in us. Well, how could that be? Very simple. God has spiritual circumcision, cuts us away from our filthy, slimy, sinful flesh, and then he can be in us. But if they don't do that, which they don't do in the Gospels, there's no spiritual circumcision, the operation made by without hands. None of that takes place in the Gospels. So I got to ask you again, if anybody's new listening to this stuff, why do you go to the Gospels for teachings to you when they weren't taught to us? They were taught to the Jews. But anyway, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Okay, now here's a thought. Revealed unto him. That word revealed. How many people have you talked to when they say, well, God just told me, God revealed to me, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of that stuff going on today. And verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. There it is again. God told me to go visit somebody. God told me to say this to you. God told me, you know, that stuff is just galore these days, and that's how they think that God speaks to them. It amazes me. That's one of the difficult facts that people don't want to realize, is they don't want to think that their feelings, their thoughts, their hearts, their wisdom, their actions, God told me, because it takes the responsibility off of them in case it doesn't work. Well, God told me to go talk to this guy. How come it didn't work? Well, the guy didn't pay any attention. Well, then why would God go to tell you this, go visit these people, if God also knows nothing's going to come of it? Why does he make you waste that gas and that trip? Well, because then they'll be without excuse. Right. But see, the problem is Paul nowhere says to us, revealed unto us, came by the Spirit into the temple, that kind of stuff. God, you know, some of the places where it says Paul, God told him, and God gave those people knowledge, well, we know where that ended up, don't we? Bunny trail, 1 Corinthians 13:10. Because up until that thing comes about, that stuff took place. But now that we have this Bible, it has to be the Bible. Because now things like revealed unto him and came by the Spirit into the temple, God tells you to do these things, he only tells us through the book. And if you can get people to realize that, you know, when you start thinking about Christmas and you think about the things that people are, you're trying to struggle to talk with people, it boils down to, you believe this King James Bible is the Word of God? Bare argument right there. If you can't get that across, you're not going to get anywhere with anything else. Second step, rightly divide that thing. What do you mean rightly divide it? You know, the rightly dividing thing is almost like we make too much of it. If you just read your Bible from cover to cover, it should make sense to you. You must not be reading very slowly and carefully. You must be trying to get in 10 pages because you're missing it. How can you miss going from Old Testament to New Testament, except that in the Gospels, that is still not New Testament? Because you're still talking law, still talking, you know, Then it goes to the Great Commission to Peter. Then it goes to Paul. And Paul even says that Peter's the apostle to the circumcision. It's so obvious. But then they got to realize how to rightly divide this thing. If they can accept that right there, and then here's the key. Here is the key phrase. Paul only. Paul only. You get into that stage, you're in. But getting into there is like trying to get off on a merry-go-round going 1,000 miles an hour. Okay, let's get back on the trail here. Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. See, don't we deal with that? We deal with this custom thing. Customs. Baptism. The works thing. Communion. The Beatitudes in your day-to-day life. Lord's Supper, though, we'll call it that. Even baby dedication. How many people have dedicated their babies to God, and then in the meantime fed them with a bunch of garbage TV and a bunch of witchcraft is what they're doing? What happened to their dedication? Kind of went out the fizzled window, didn't it? Throw them into a public school. Throw them into a private school. Don't teach them anything. Keep them away from what's wrong, but don't teach them what's right. The whole spiel. We got our customs. Christmas custom? Easter custom? So, this is Old Testament stuff here. This is what they had to do for the law. This is what they did. This is custom. So, this guy, Simeon, here we go. This is the good part now. Then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said. Now, picture you picking up your Bible, realizing this is the Word of God. These are the words of God. This is that which is perfect. This is from the mouth of God. And we know inside that Bible how to read that Bible exactly to know which is to us, where the rest of it's for us, and what part of that Bible is to us, and how you even have to rightly divide Paul's books to understand that some of that stuff, all that stuff as far as actions, was before the 1611, 1 Corinthians 13:10. You get that solid, you get that thing down, then you've realized something. You have realized that you have the Word of God in your hands. And you've got it to study, to read. Nobody can take it from you yet. So you realize that. Just like Simeon here. He says, he took him up, the Lord himself, and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Remember he said that he was told that... where was that at here? That he was not going to see death in verse 26 before he's seen the Lord's Christ. That must have been an exciting thing for him to hear. But now he's seen him. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. That's got to be a tremendous amount of assurance and peace for Simeon. Just like us, we realize that we have the Word of God right there. And our flesh is still flesh. It still follows the law of sin. Our mind wants to serve the law of God. We want to learn what it is God taught us to do. We want to dress to please Him and talk to please Him and not do things and all this kind of stuff. We're all out there doing our thing, knowing that our flesh battles all the time. But we know that our soul is clean. How do we know that? We learned that from Paul. We know that we're not attached to our flesh, which doesn't make any sense to us, but we believe what God says. Why? We've got the Word of God. We've got this peace. We're ready to go. Now, if we're not ready to go, ready to depart in peace, it's because we still got some of our tentacles stuck into this world. But now Simeon realizes the Christ is here. Now I can go. So he says, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. According to thy word. Simeon, strange guy that is, he actually believed what God told him. What a thing. How could anybody do such a thing as believe that what God told him was truly from God? And he believes it. Well, we do the same thing. We believe this book to be the Word of God. And when we struggle with age, we struggle with sin, we struggle with sinning, put it that way, we struggle with our health, we struggle with things in this physical earth, that Bible will tell us how to get through that whole mess. But our flesh will probably win. And we'll either quit or get frustrated or whatever, get pouty and depressed. we still just don't have that peace because we just can't trust him to take care of our day-to-day life. Well, he doesn't tell us. He doesn't make us do anything. He doesn't magically guide our life into the good God made. No, he gave us a book that will get us through everything in this world, on this world. And we just pout and depress and get frustrated and angry instead of turning to the book and get the solution. So if we could be like the Simeon guy, Simeon says what he says here, and learn from him, we can have peace according to thy word. Because we've got something Simeon didn't have. That's the word in book form. We can sit down and lay in our bed, put our feet up, put our feet in some water, turn the fan on, put on our little cinnamon smell, and all the stuff that we can do. Sit back and read and hear from God exactly, directly, face to face. So, see where I'm coming with this guy? This guy gets excited. Why can't we get excited? Lord, now let us... He says, then he took him up in his arm and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The Simeon guy, he saw the Messiah's here. This is the guy, this is the little kid, this is the baby kid, junior high, adult, his whole life. This creature here is gonna solve everything. God's salvation is here. He's not ignoring us, it's here. This is the time. I just can't help but think that the people in 1611, 1612, 1613, how thrilled they got when they got a hold of a Bible. I remember the stories, even the Romanian Russian days, back when I was trying to get involved with that. And I read a story about a guy that they were giving out free Bibles in Romania, and they ran out of Bibles, and the guy wanted the box that the Bibles came in. True story. You ever get a new Bible and you smell them? Don't they just smell? It's the smell you don't smell anywhere else. That new Bible smell. New cover, leather, the pages. And you just take care of that thing. Sure, it's a book and paper and print and words and all that stuff. We write in them. Oof. As I don't know how many people in my life have looked at my Bible and seen my notes there and they get all upset. Like, can you write in your Bible? I didn't know you could write in your Bible. The Bible is our salvation. Well, Jesus Christ is our salvation. Of course he is. And he's who we're trusting. Our faith is the fact that he's real. He did what he did. And our faith is in him. But how would we know about him if it wasn't for this Bible? You know that every religion out there that's false, which they're all false out there, still would not know about God at all if it wasn't for this King James Bible. They had to hear about this stuff before they could stray from it. Anyway. This is the 400th birthday of the King James Bible. It's coming up here in 2011. Why don't you celebrate that instead of Christmas? Wait a minute. Nelson Publishing is having a big to-do over the King James Bible. Nelson Publication? They hate the King James Bible. But they know to make a big thing of it. Have you seen any of the ads for that thing? That's a great big thing they're trying to make out of this King James. They don't even believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Guess what's involved in that thing? Money. Big time money. Anyway. So verse 30, Simeon says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. We can see the same thing. And actually, we don't even need to see salvation just for eternity. We can see our salvation day to day. Salvation from this world. Are we going to escape the pollutions of this world? No. That's tribulation. They will have to. That's in 2 Peter. We can't escape it. In tribulation, your best thing is to escape it. Get out of there. Okay. Day-to-day salvation as well as eternal salvation, based on a King James Bible rightly divided, following Paul only, yet reading the whole Bible, because the whole Bible is there for us, but only are Paul's writings written to us. It's that simple. It's just that. They just want to complicate the whole thing. Verse 31. Still got a comma after verse 30, so stick with the grammar here, the punctuation. Which thou hast prepared, what's that? Salvation. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. So here's Jesus, here's the Messiah being born now. He's in this world before the face of all people. And there's that before the face. People still struggle with 1 Corinthians 13:10. I think it's 11 or 12. It talks about, let's check it out here. Let's go to the book and just see what exactly it does say. It says here, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Ah, see, it has to be Jesus' face. So it has to be him coming back. Well, if that's what that's referring to, then all that stuff in verse 8 is still taking place today. So God does tell us in our mind, our heart. God does guide us. He does reveal things to us. Yeah, that's why there's so many religions out there. People think God's revealed something to this guy, or mostly to this lady. It's the ladies that get all the revealings, revelations there. No, you just read your Bible. It just happens to be that we understand our King James Bible better nowadays because we're seeing a lot of it take place. How do those people, what do they think in the early days, revelation? Going to take a mark. How can that possibly be? What are they talking about? It wasn't even 10, 15 years ago that we all believed that the number 666 was going to be on our forehead. So Ruckman paints the number 666 on our forehead. And the kids look at that. We all look at that as kids thinking, you know, that's really dumb. We're not going to walk around with 666 written on our forehead with a magic marker that's permanent. See, now we understand how it's going to be done. In fact, it's possible to already have that chip planted. And people are having a chip planted. We see the barcode. We see all this, how it's all taking place. We get a better understanding than they did 100 years ago, 300 years ago, before when it first came out. But I'll bet you those people were really excited, just like Simeon. Then took you up in his arms and blessed God and said, he's excited. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. So we're in our King James Bible. We're still face-to-face with God. 1 Corinthians 13:12, not a problem. We're face-to-face with this Bible. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even who also as I am known. We can know this book. We can know what we need to know. It's in there. Just how much do we study? Or do we study the teachings from somebody else? Sit down and just read that Bible. Dig into that thing. It'll fix your marriage. It'll give you the right kind of marriage. It'll take care of your kids if they believe it. And they see mom and dad doing what they believe to let it be known to be real, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, here's even the better part. Look at verse 32. Still part of the phrase, this is still part of what Simeon is saying. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Oh, well, great. Yes. Let's just do some reading, though. Romans chapter 11, actually part of chapter 10, before that whole thing. And you find out that he's going to go to the Gentiles, because there's Romans 11 is where he does. But if you go back into Matthew, and you find out in the Gospels where he even tells the Jews, don't go to the Gentiles, which we all know that takes place, how can he be a light to lighten the Gentiles? Well, Great Commission. They go out there. What do they teach? They teach that you follow what the Jews are teaching to you. You can still have this Messiah. You got to do it through us. Now, why would they have to go through the Jews? Now, here's a great section of verse here. Look at the verse, second half of 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Israel, the Jews, the glory of thy people Israel. They're going to go out to the Gentiles. God's going to use those people to reach the Gentiles. And those people are going to be looked upon as the answer to get to the Messiah. That's a glory. That's a great thing for Israel. So Christ has prepared. God has prepared before the face of all people a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So the Gentiles were going to get a hold of the light, but it was going to be done through the Jews, and that was going to be their glory as a people. Well, we know what happens. They blow the whole thing. They kill him, which is prophetic, but doesn't matter. They blow their chance for glory as a people. And it gets to Romans chapter 11, where we see that, because you guys fell, I'm going to give everything I can to the Gentiles. There's no glory for the Jews there at all now. It's done. It's gone. But by any means, I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Blindness in part has happened to Israel, verse 25. See, I mean, that's a marvelous verse right there. a light to lighten the Gentiles through the Jews, because the Jews are going to tell the Gentiles all about their Messiah and how they can have him by following them, like he's like Peter even preaches, and the glory of thy people Israel. And it's all shot down the tubes because they kill him and they kill Stephen, and God goes on to Paul to the Gentiles. Jews out of the picture. That's a good verse. That is a good verse. Okay, verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. All sorts of different things you can say here. Marveled. Do you still marvel at your Bible? Does it become so commonplace to us that it's just like, well, yeah, there it is. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm Paul guy. Yeah. Marvel at those things which were spoken of him. Marvel at the things that this Bible says to us. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Even Thessalonians gives us a heads up on tribulation. We marvel at that stuff, that we can read that stuff. Romans, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. We ought to marvel at that stuff. Marvel the fact that this King James Bible knocks out your religion. As you drive around town, you see these churches all over the place and all these nice people, nice conservative people, yet bound for hell. According to what I believe that Bible says about salvation. Different Bibles. I marvel that that King James Bible is so hated. And they're so blind. So many things to marvel at. We should marvel still at this Bible. Okay. And Simeon, now what do? People marvel at their pastor. They marvel at their building. Oh, that was a marvelous special today. You sounded so good. You sang so good. And those that sing terrible, you still say they sounded so good because it's church, and you're still supposed to lie to them. Say, oh, that was very good. Sure glad you love God. I'm sure God loved it. It takes God in this world to like what some people sing and can play, I'll tell you. Only he has enough to live peaceably with people that sound horrible. But they did it for him. Made a joke and noise. Yeah, I know they did. I know. But that's what we marvel at. Anyway. Now here's something that Simeon did that I found very dangerous. Verse 34 as a pastor. He says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother. Well, I tell you what, I learned I don't know if I learned or not, but I'm aware of the fact that when you start preaching to your children in your church, or you say something to the mom about their kids, you're toying with the mama bear. I learned that a long time ago. You just don't mess with the kids. Mama's just going to get you for it. The dads always say, oh yeah, those are my kids, aren't they? Yeah, the ones that are running around the room and climbing on the ceiling. Yeah, dad, those are your kids. But moms, their little urchins are just perfect little wonders, aren't they? So Simon says to Mary, this guy's taking on a big challenge here. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Wow, really? Yeah. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. Verse 35, skip parentheses for a minute. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He's quite a character, this little guy. This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. He has something to do with that? And for a sign which shall be spoken against? This guy is going to make a lot of enemies? No, wouldn't that be nice to tell a mother? You look at this little baby and say, oh, this baby, you know, everybody's going to hate this little baby. Oh, thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that. Yes, very much. And this guy is going to reveal the hearts of people. Well, I'm glad my son is going to do that because he's going to be such a perfect little person. We're going to dedicate him in a couple of days and we're going to just homeschool him. We're going to do everything so right and so proper. Turn the channel, son. Let's find some other good garbage on there. Let's just go play the Wii. Let's play some stuff that's just kind of dumb. Let's listen to some bad music. Should we, son? Oh, let's go play some bad music. Well, it's part of the movie. We really can't get around it. We just have to learn to listen to it and put up with it. Let's have this musical family come into our church and let's see if we can just kind of touch a little bit on the country, but say it's not country. Let's see if, look, it can't hurt us. It's music. And our kids, but I'm going to do a sermon here pretty soon, or a talk, whatever you want to call them, on children. What's going on with our children? I tell you, our children are destroyed. They're being destroyed. And our parents, you parents and grandparents, us grandparents, we're paying for it. We're paying it. I'll save it. Anyway, so 34, he said, for the fall and rising again of many. Okay, so Israel is going to rise again. Yeah, it's called the millennium. Because notice when this is being said. Now, this is when Jesus was born, and he's coming around now for the Gospels. So Israel's going to have to fall again. Okay, so, yeah. And the next time he comes back, second coming, and then he got the millennium after all that. Okay, so that's what he's talking about here. So this guy, Simeon, says, this child's going to have something to do with this fall and rising again of many in Israel. Then it goes on, and a sign which shall be spoken against, you know, that he's that, how do they say that thing? He was, I wrote it down here from a lousy memory here. Stumbling block. No, they don't want him. They tried to kill him while he was born, when he was being born. And then the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Well, sure, Christ reveals their heart. Where do we get our hearts revealed? From the Word of God. Where does it say that? Hebrews chapter 4. Yeah, but see, that's Hebrews. Yes, that's talking about the Word of God. Sharper than a two-edged sword. So whatever the Word of God is during that dispensation, that's the thing you got to deal with. In the Gospels, where is the Word of God? Walking around. Where is the Word of God in the Old Testament? Prophets. Miscellaneous scriptures they had written down. Prophets. Where's the Word of God going to be during the Great Commission? It was through Peter. Where's the Word of God during the Tribulation? Hebrews, through Jude, King James Bible. And it's even going to be the people that are going to be talking. Who's that? Well, there's James. There's his writings, Jude. And where's the Word of God today? King James Bible. That's how our hearts get revealed. I'll tell you, these people that think that God is telling them stuff, if God's going to tell these ladies anything, he's going to reveal in their hearts how rotten and wicked they are. But he won't do that. He gets it to them in that Bible. I can show you the verses where it exposes the heart of a woman. Even the heart of men. And one of those verses is going to prick your heart as a lady. One of them is going to get you. Blaspheming against the Word of God. Not following your husband properly. Loud, not dressing right. That Bible will poke at you, and your heart will come out. Well, that's me. That's the old me. Well, you're supposed to put the old me away. Don't let the old me come out. So that Bible exposes our hearts. How many get tired of being the Christian, dressing like the Christian, and doing like the Christian? Should be doing. Maybe you don't get tired of it yet. Leaven works this way. How many hate? If I'm living out here, I've used this example before. I'm living out here where country music is as everywhere as there is air. Am I ever going to learn to like country music? It doesn't please God. You're around it long enough, you're going to start accepting it. You start accepting it, before you know it, you'll be doing it. Before you know it, you'll be doing it. You'll be doing it on purpose, and you're caught. Unless you purposely realize to yourself, don't turn that on. Don't leave it there. It'll get me. That's our heart. What we want? No. Paul says that we're supposed to serve the mind, serve the law of God. Okay, by the way, there's a parenthesis in verse 35. And this is a marvelous little parenthesis there. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. Who's that? He's talking to Mary. It's just like God put that little parenthesis in there to remind Mary, or to tell us, that Mary just needs the Savior just as well. Do you see that there? And Simon blessed him and said unto Mary, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Parentheses, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, Mary. Just so you know, you're not the mother of God. You don't need to be worshipped. you are like everybody else. You're going to have your soul pierced as well. The Word of God is going to do it. And in her prayer, the prayer that she prays here is in Luke chapter, is it Matthew? I think it might be in Matthew. Let me check it out here. Mary prays such that, I think it was in Luke, she realizes she needs the Savior. I think it's in Luke. See if I can. Either. No, I can't find it now. Mary said, in chapter 1 of Luke, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. My soul doth magnify the Lord. For he hath regarded..." See that? Anyway. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Not Blessed Mary, however the thing goes. But she still was the one that had Jesus. That's still pretty special. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him." That's what she prays. In fact, if you go back to Luke chapter 2, verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. All these things she's learning. She's no co-redemptrix, I think they call that. She's not part of our salvation. Luke 1:46. Yeah, that's what I was reading there. Yep. But that little blurb in verse 35, isn't that good? It just destroys the Catholic Church right there. Anyway. Then it goes on. "There was one Anna, a prophetess." Got to get the ladies involved here. That's how I picture this thing. Oh, by the way, I guess I better go talk to a prophetess and get her a little involved here too. "She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. 37, she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple." Marilyn Kane's still on it. There you go, Grandma. You go down to the church building and you never leave again. You just pray and fast and you stay there day and night. Why not? Set up a bed. You're living by yourself up there in the hill. Just take your bed. "Where are you going, Grandma?" "I'm going to go down to the church. I'm going to live down there and I'm going to just pray and fast. Because I know what's going to go on. I know what's happening. The tribulation is coming. People are blind. The church is not teaching like it ought to. The people are just playing in the world, blah, 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 blah." So you're going to set up shop at the church. "You guys want to follow the gospel teachings? I'm going to act like the gospel teachings. I'm going to be like Anna. I'm going to go live in the church." I don't recommend that. God would be thrilled with it. That's the old, no immaculate conception. There you go. 38. "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Jewish again. So that's her little thing. They knew that there is redemption. There is a redemption. What do we have? We have a Bible. We should be marveled at what this Bible says, what it can do for us. We realized this morning that the difference between Paul's teachings and the Jewish things and the Gentile thing. There's differences. We read this thing the way Simeon talks about Jesus Christ. Jesus, in those days, Jesus knew what he was going to be doing. We have it now through a King James Bible. And God reveals to us. And that thing about consolation, we'll talk about that tonight. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. So there Simon says. Read what Simon says. And a very, very wise man in those days. And he died in peace, according to his word. So, there you are. We'll get in there tonight. We'll look at consolation probably, and salvation a little bit, because that's what we get out of our Bible. What's revealed to us, it's already been revealed. We just have to read it. And you don't have to go to your pastor to do it. He helps. If he's rightly dividing, he's doing his job. But he's not the guy that reveals. He gave it to you in a Bible. 1 Corinthians 13:10. That which is perfect has come. It's there. We have it. So we'll see you folks tonight.